We're beginning a new series on the Jewish home, and like I always say, I'm giving this class by default, and this is my disclaimer. I strongly recommend you guys read our really good books. The Jew and His Home is a very good book. I think it's put out by Feldheim. There are many, many good books out there. Rav Simcha Cohen wrote a book, Ishu Beito. That's The Jew and His Home. And then, I'm sorry, Ishu Beito is Rav Eliyahu Kitov. And that's a very good book. And Rav Simcha Cohen put out a book, Habayit HaYehudi, The Jewish Home. I don't know if they translated it to English, but that's also a very good book. And you're welcome to hear other classes. And I'm going to tell you the way I see it, but you're welcome to hear other classes. I just want to point out, we have online a dating series, and our discussion is not about dating. Do not confuse the two. Dating requires one attitude, and building a home requires a totally different attitude. When you're dating, then there's the question of what you look for. If you guys want, let me know. If enough people want it, we'll do the dating series again. But dating requires one attitude. And when you're dating, you have to find someone you're compatible with. And there, we're not talking about the same compromises as once you've chosen the one. Once you've chosen the one, so then it's not a question about what's the ideal. It's a question of how do I make it work with her. And our starting point is after engagement or after marriage. So now that we've united, now the question is how do we make it work? And that's what our class is going to focus on. But don't confuse our class with dating. What we're talking about is post-marriage. And there's a world of a difference. When you're dating, then you got to search for the one that's right. Or who said it's only one? There could be a million that are right. But you've got to get the right person. And that's a totally different class. You're welcome to catch it online. Do not confuse the two.
This is
TorahForMe.org. The other point, which we say many times, and I cannot say it enough, and that is that as much as we will discuss in class, you could learn 10 times as much as you could learn in a classroom. You could learn by being a part of a Jewish home. So when you guys can, I strongly, strongly recommend go to people's homes, go to rabbis' homes. Doesn't have to be a rabbi. Just see Jewish homes. I did it myself and I'm still doing it. And from every home you could take certain things and get around. Don't spend your Shabbatot with other bachelors like you. You want to spend the Shabbos like that, fine. But your primary learning you could get much, 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 much more learning than I could give in this class. You could get by going to people's homes. Go for Shabbat, notice what you see. If you can, ask. You don't have to ask in front of the kids, but you could ask when you're in shul with the husband. When you can, go and see what it's like. Because I can only cover so much. And the last point is if you guys can succeed in building a standard Jewish home, you're a tremendous success. We're not looking for innovations. If everyone else that you've been by for Shabbos has a white tablecloth, don't go having a purple one. You see, that's part of the home. So even though there's not a halacha that says it has to be white, but if you want a good home that your children will walk out normal and have good perspective on what the home is supposed to be like, so try to do the standard. There's a reason why it is that way. Yeah?
I have a question. Can you have a Jewish home? How do you have a Jewish home with that?
On a kibbutz? Okay, so we could begin with that. This isn't where I want to begin, but we could begin with that too. One of the things that's very important when you're choosing where to build your home is the location. And one of the things that people err most, especially people who are chozrim b'tshuva and geirim, is that they don't give this enough weight. Because when a person does tshuva or a person is a geir, so very often they're coming from an area where they were the lone man on campus, right? They were the only one who was keeping Shabbat, or they were the only one who decided to become Jewish, or Chozer B'Tshuva, and they say, well, it worked fine for me. What do I need a Jewish neighborhood for? And that's why we find people who are Chozer B'Tshuva or Geirim, and they sometimes will go out to who knows where, to fight in Afghanistan. And they call me up, and they say, no, I don't have kosher here, but I manage, I'm vegetarian. No, I don't have a minyan on Shabbos here, but that's okay. What do you mean that's okay? What kind of life are you leading? That's not the way a Jew is supposed to lead his life. We have students who are in Afghanistan.
Canadians?
Yeah, what?
Are they Canadian?
Canadians, Americans. Baruch Hashem, Machon Meir has students everywhere. But it's a pity. We had students here who went out to Sinai for Yom Tov. So they were teaching classes in Sinai. Why? One of the things that people don't have if they didn't grow up in a Jewish home, and they should have, and that's one of the things you got to get used to, is the concept of a good Jewish community. As much as we're responsible to bring up our kids and we're the ones who are responsible for the chinuch, we have to remember that the community we're in impacts our children greatly. If you're in a community where they don't have good role models, well, there's a price to pay for that, and it's a very big price. And the truth is, not only our children, but even ourselves. We are affected. Maimonides writes, and Maimonides writing to all of the Jewish people, and he says, you have to choose a good Jewish community. Every Jew has to do that. It's one of the first things Maimonides writes. And that's a responsibility of every Jew. And if there's one point, that's why I'm willing to deal with this at the onset. Because if there's one point, if I had to name the top 10 points that people make mistakes in when they leave Mechon Meir, I would put this among the top 10, maybe even among the top 3. Meaning that one of the top points, that the top mistakes that people make when they leave Mechon Meir, is they figure, I did fine growing up or becoming Jewish or becoming religious, coming from nowhere, coming from a community where there was no one else who was religious. And they don't realize that, yeah, you did great. How many people around you didn't do great? The way most of the world works is that we're all affected by what's around us. You were the lone soldiers. Every one of you, that's what I always say. That I feel like laughing every time I walk into the classroom and people stand up for me. I feel like I have to stand up for everyone here. Everyone that's here has contended with tremendous hardships and made it. And I had it relatively easy. I grew up in an Orthodox home. I grew up with Orthodox schools. You guys each overcame tremendous hardships to make it to here, and I applaud you. At the same time, I'm telling you, but you can't think because of that you could do that to your kids and they'll come out like you guys came out. Or even to yourselves. After you've been exposed and you've learned and you've advanced, to go back to those communities, to think, I'll be just fine if I go back there, that's not true. A person works his way backwards by doing that, and I speak it from experience. It's hard enough when people go to visit the communities. Just the visit. We had a whole class, and every guy in the class attested to the truth of this. You could advance all year in Mechon Meir, and then go back during the break to visit your parents or visit the home community, and you feel like, you know, like everything unwinds. You know,
I can testify that it's very hard, even though I managed to do it. It was very hard.
You managed once. What happens the second time and the third time and the fourth time? People have to know it's very hard. You're not who you were. You've advanced. And that advancement is something that you don't want to lose. And you should know that it's hard till the day a person dies. It's not something that gets easier. So if you've brought up this point, I'm happy beginning with this point. One of the things that you have to recognize, and if you don't see it yourself, which you probably don't, then at least take my word for it. If Maimonides writes it, and the prophet Jeremiah writes it, and it's throughout the Pirkei Avos, this concept that a person has to choose a good community and good neighbors and good friends and good people to be with, so you have to know that. I'm paying a fortune to live in this community. You know, I live in a little apartment. You haven't yet come to my house. Should come once. The whole apartment is a little bit bigger than this room. Okay? The whole apartment, everything, including bathroom and dining room, kids' room, bedroom, everything. A little bit bigger than this room. And I'm paying much more than all my friends on the Yishuvim and everything. But it's worthwhile for me because of the education my kids get, because of the shuls they get to go to, because when my child wakes up, he hears the neighbor's child saying, Modeh Ani. I used to live in a different neighborhood where during the night we'd hear couples cursing one another out and dogs barking next to us and people getting drunk. And you paid for a certain community and there's a price to pay, but it's a worthwhile price. Now, there are beautiful yeshuvim. I'm not saying you have to pay the fortune to live here. There are many reasons we're here. But I'm saying one of the things a person has to calculate very, very strongly is where he's going to live. But that wasn't where I wanted to begin. We have another 2 minutes. So let's begin where I want to begin. Even though it's a very important point, so I'm happy you brought it up. Be'ezrat Hashem, I hope in our next class we will learn the Gemara. The Gemara discusses kol ha'shaloi belo isha. Anyone who's in a situation where he's without a woman, he's not married. So the Talmud enumerates a long list of things that he doesn't have. He doesn't have happiness. He doesn't have stability. He doesn't. The Talmud describes it as a person who's sharui belo isha. His state, he's like floating, he's like sunk in a situation where he's without a wife. So then the Talmud says there are many things he can't even attain Torah the way he should. yet, being that we're dealing with a bunch of bachelors, so a person has to know when it's the right time. And we're going to discuss the importance and the beauty and the benefits of the Jewish home, but I'm not encouraging anyone to date. I just have to, again, even though we discussed it earlier, I have to remind you, that's in the dating series, that's the first class we discuss. When should a person start dating? That's not our discussion here. We're discussing our attitude to the home and how a Jew is supposed to try and build his home. And it's two different discussions. A person has to build a home out of stability. And a person has to build a stable home. And a person has to build a home that's filled with love. And here in Machon Me'il Baruch Hashem, you're gaining the tools to do that. We have to think, what are going to be the pillars of our home? And Bezat Shem, the next class we're going to begin, I want you guys to come back and think. If you had to build the home on 3 to 5 pillars, I would say even 3. But let's say I'll give you the capacity between 3 and 5. So this is your homework. What are the pillars of the home? And I want you to remember, we often begin our class with a questionnaire. We're not doing that this time. But one of the things that people forget on the questionnaire, when we discuss the home, they discuss the relationship between them and the spouse. And they forget the kids. When we discuss the Jewish home, a central part of the Jewish home is the kids. So when you think, what are the pillars of the home? What does a good home stand on? Don't just think about you and your spouse. Think about the kids as well. Your focus has to shift from just me, which is what usually me and my wife means. It's just me. To us and the kids and the home. When we speak about the Jewish home, so we pray that we merit to have kids. And the home is not me, my wife, and the dog, but us and the kids and the home we build with them. So think about it. What are the pillars? What does the house stand on? And Bezlachem will begin with this next week.